Welcome to episode 11 of the Asia Business Investor podcast. Today we're off to Dubai to talk to Anilish Kumar, who is a marketing and PR entrepreneur. He's joint managing director of Frequency Integrated Marketing Communications, which is a marketing and PR agency in Dubai, which has just been around for just over a year with a focus on technology. I think you might find this podcast quite interesting as we discuss the challenges of operating in Dubai, which is especially relevant for Anilish as he's established the agency just over a year ago, so certainly right in the middle of the global economic crisis. And I think it's a very interesting story, which I hope you find interesting. Hello, Anilish. Thanks for joining us on the Asia Business Investor podcast.
It's my pleasure.
Could you start by telling us about yourself?
Sure, Nicholas. I'm basically a 25-year-old engineer based in Dubai. I've been working in Dubai for the last 6 years across different industries, including PR, marketing, IT, business consulting. These have been some of the lines that I've worked in. Predominantly, I've been working primarily in Dubai. I spent a little bit of time working in India as well. I'm an engineer from BITS Pilani, which is one of the top universities in India. Mm-hmm. Post 6 years of work across these lines, I've more or less started an integrated marketing agency, which sort of caters to diverse companies in the Middle East in terms of taking care of their marketing across different avenues of marketing, from PR to events to production and online marketing. This is a quick background about me. I'm basically a bachelor at this point, more or less, living by myself in Dubai, mm-hmm. and focusing on my business as a core entrepreneur.
Yeah, could you tell me how did you go about starting the business?
Sure. Essentially, when I was working initially, my first job essentially was a job in a PR company. As such, I was an account manager for the IT industry, so I was mm-hmm. doing public relations for companies like Apple, Citrix, Lucent Technologies. These are some of the big names that I worked with in that space, within the public relations, corporate communication space. Post that job, my next job essentially was working within an IT consulting firm called Columbus IT, where I was a sales and marketing manager, with sales being the predominant role and marketing being a smaller hat for me in terms of my job function. As I went through my role, on the job, I sort of saw different IT companies working, and I saw that, there were lots of middle segment companies in the Middle East which had a very unstructured marketing function. They probably had a marketing coordinator or, a low-level marketing manager who more or less was a coordinator. There was no marketing wasn't done in the true sense of the word. Seeing this as an opportunity, I sort of thought that, this is a potential gap that I could, utilize as a business opportunity. Yeah. With my experience in PR, I sort of thought that, it would be, a good idea to move into marketing and sort of create a company that has an integrated end-to-end offering that goes to clients, structures the marketing, executes it for them, and, brings back money from, rather than marketing being an expense to the company, becomes a profit center for the company. That was the basic idea behind the business.
What was one of the real impetuses for you for making you really want to start your own business?
The real impetus for me to start my business, I think that there were two sides to this. One was that the opportunity came along at the right time for me. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm quite young in terms of my age. I traditionally felt that, going down the line, if I was, say, 35, 40, it wouldn't be the right time to start a business. I would have a family, I would have challenges on hand in terms of, managing my domestic life. And I thought, at this point, my liabilities are low. I can, take the plunge. That was one side of, what drove me. The second thing was that I more or less, sort of integrated into an existing business. In fact, there was a college mate of mine who had started an events company. I had a PR background, so together we thought, this is the right mix. We could come up with an integrated offering for companies. PR events, we bring in creative and design, we bring in online marketing, and, we have an integrated mix to take to the market. apart from these two factors, which are more practical in nature, one of the most important factors that I saw was that, you know, after 4 or 5 years on a job, the learning curve sort of slows down. You know, you do not learn as much as you would like.
That's very true, yeah.
Mm. So that was a major factor. I sort of saw this, that, you know, saw that I could go to a B school or, you know, go, you know, start educating myself further to, you know, sort of learn. Or I could get into a business where I could practically learn much more, more hands-on. And again, you know, it could become a success story going ahead. That's the vision that I had. And from that perspective, saw, again, a market opportunity and more or less, you know, got into the business with the idea that this is going to, you know, even if this doesn't make money for me, I'm going to learn a lot, you know, through this experience. That was the main impetus.
Right. So what do you think have been the biggest challenges for you in setting up your business?
The biggest challenges as such, I think from a personal perspective, it is, it has been the traditional challenges as such, you know, that one, you have to understand that you're getting into a startup, you're putting your savings into it, you're going to have a loss of income for a certain period of time so that you're going to let the business breathe and grow by itself. These have been the traditional challenges that I've seen. One challenge that we've seen due to the times that we are in is that essentially, you know, we had a plan that was very realistic, you know, probably a year back, and today we've had to revise the plan completely. We've been forced to adapt as such. But again, I think that's part of the learning curve, and, you know, and, you have to go by the market. You know, the market changes, you change, and you need to adapt to survive, essentially.
You're right. So how do you think the economic situation has impacted on business in Dubai?
I think Dubai as a whole has been affected quite seriously. You know, Dubai primarily was in the middle of a real estate boom when the recession came about. Last year, you would see businesses flourishing in Dubai, infrastructure going, you know, large infrastructure projects being executed. And there was a lot of money that was being pumped into the economy at that point, you know. So the credit was really floating around at that point. Mm-hmm. Now, today, after the recession has come in, with the negative sentiment around, you know, people are trying to hold back to the money. People are trying to liquidate whatever they've had. So it's as if an engine has been going at, you know, 100% in the forward direction, and someone has hit the reverse gear. That's what we've seen at this point. So like the rest of the world, we've seen job cuts, we've seen businesses closing in this part of the world as well. But I would say since the core fundamentals of Dubai are strong, you know, it's an excellent location, the infrastructure is great, regulations are there, the place is going to do well over time. But the last 6 months has been a troublesome period for the entire city as such. But if you look at the broader framework, you know, Dubai is a city within the UAE. There's Abu Dhabi, which is on the other side, which is the capital of the UAE, and you've got the overall Middle East as a whole. And if you look at the broader picture, I think the Middle East is fairly okay. You know, Dubai is the most global place within the whole Middle East, the most exposed place in terms of globalization, and that's why you've seen Dubai being affected the most. There is less oil in this city as such compared to even Abu Dhabi.
I see. So how do you think it's impacted on the marketing PR business in Dubai?
The marketing PR business, again, in Dubai, like I was telling you, real estate was a major driver of the economy last year. Mm-hmm. And real estate primarily thrives on marketing in, not necessarily PR, but it would be integrated marketing that would take a real estate business forward. You know, they do their sales campaigns right, they do a launch event, they have sales centers. They do the advertising right, and they get clients on board, and then they get into the process of, you know, developing the building and, you know, ensuring that it meets customer requirements. From this perspective, since real estate has gone to a 10% today,
right.
We've seen a similar fall in advertising / marketing revenues as well. There were a lot of companies that were dependent on developers, real estate developers, to make their money in terms of marketing, mm-hmm. and that has really gone out of the window at the moment. Companies which have had diverse verticals, different offerings, they've been able to survive and adapt. Ourselves, for example, you know, we've been a boutique agency, we've been a smaller agency. Our traditional areas of work have been around IT, technology, telecom, really not very seriously affected. Yes, we've seen drops in revenue, drops in marketing spend, but not to the extent that you would see in real estate, for example. And again, by the virtue of being small and, you know, having a lower cost structure, yeah, we've been able to adapt much more quickly and, go back to customers and tell them that, you know, we'll support you at this time. We'll bring our prices down, and you guys need to just, you know, remember that, you know, we've done this for you at a bad time, and, you know, when it comes back to normalcy, we expect to, you know, do more business with you. So this has been the story for us, and, you know, in general, the marketing slash advertising industry in Dubai.
So it's just a matter of adapting in Dubai, from the sounds of it.
Yes, pretty much, I think, yeah. It's been a story of adapting. But again, you know, there are some sectors where you can adapt. If you're a real estate company in Dubai, you know, it's a very tough situation to adapt. You can adapt to survive, but you really wouldn't be making too much money. You know, that would be the situation.
I can definitely understand that. What's something about your business that you like the most?
I think one of the most the nicest things that that is there in a services business is that, you know, I've traditionally worked in the services industry for a long time. So one of the most interesting or the nicest things is that, you know, you can be consultative to your customers. Mm-hmm. If you're selling, say, a product, if you're manufacturing a product, or you're selling or you have a retail chain, there's very little you can do in terms of being consultative. As a services partner to a company, for example, us, where we are going and presenting integrated marketing offerings, we are looking at what business the company does, what kind of revenue the company does, what are their lines, how does marketing fit into their role, how much of marketing are they doing at this point, would it be wise to, you know, sort of invest money in marketing. So we are more or less taking on the role of a person who is already inside the company, you know. So that's something which is very interesting. We get to learn about the entire business that a client runs at that point. That's probably the most important thing. And again, that goes back to my my initial driver that, you know, there's a lot of learning involved in yes, being in the services business. Mm. So that's probably the nicest thing. The other things that a business sort of gives you is that, you know, you sort of have the potential to grow in all senses, be it financially, mentally. You can, you know, broaden your horizons and look beyond. And again, you have the opportunity to turn your business into a success story. You know, tomorrow, you will be known for the company that you built. I think that's the end goal of every businessman.
Yes. Is there something you dislike about being an entrepreneur?
I think the only thing that is negative about being an entrepreneur is, you know, how much ever you would like to have a sense of discipline in being an entrepreneur, it tends to become indisciplined at some point, you know. You don't have fixed timings. You have meetings late in the evening. You have meetings on your weekends. And you would compensate that by, you know, probably taking, you know, a little bit of a break somewhere during your working day. You know, so your cycle of work is very different from a regular job. This has its own impacts on your personal life, your social life, and that may be detrimental going ahead. I think at this point I'm really not, complaining because my girlfriend's working, and, you know, I'm not bothered. But tomorrow when I, you know, if she's my wife, and, you know, if I'm not turning up at home at 10 in the night, I'm sure she's going to call me and, you know, give me a piece of her mind.
Yeah. Do you think there is a particular Dubai style of entrepreneurship?
Dubai style, yes, pretty much, yes. Dubai as such, if you've read the history of Dubai, Dubai has been a trading hub for a long time. In the 1970s, before oil was found, and, you know, the area became a rich sheikdom as such. Mm-hmm. There were traders from India, from Iran, who used to come down to Dubai, use Dubai as a trading hub to sell to Africa, sell to Europe, you know, the rest of the world as such. So if you've seen the quality and the vibe of the people in Dubai, it has essentially been trading. And traders, I believe, are extremely strong businessmen. They look mm-hmm. at profitability in a big way. They look at margins in a big way because there are thin margins and they need to know their costs. They need to know, you know, what they're making. Now, this quality of business has filtered down to Dubai across the board. You know, today, even if you're running a multi-billion dollar business, you know, run by, say, a rich local Emirati in this region, I'm sure his a lot of his advice has come from his forefathers who've done business with similar traders. So the basics of business have come from trading, which are very strong, very number-oriented, again, because like I told you, the traders have to, you know, be aware of what they're selling and what they're gaining. And again, that has come up and mixed well with, you know, corporate governance, strong regulations, and, you know, international best practices as such, which have come in from, you know, from the Western world, which is, you know, which is quite well assimilated into the Dubai society and economy at this point. So it's a good mix of the East and the West, old business practices, new business practices. And I think that is the Dubai style of entrepreneurship.
That's great. So what are the future plans for your company? Do you have any sort of major plans you're looking
future
forward?
Plans for a company? Sure. I think the future plans for the company is more or less, we have been organically growing over time. Adding on employees, adding on new lines of business. So we've been doing that over time. In terms of future plans, we're looking at going online in a big way. If you look at advertising and marketing, the impact of print and other lines of marketing are slowing down, and I think online marketing is picking up in a very big way as online penetration across the globe increases. So I think even from our company's perspective, we are looking at developing portals which cater to specific verticals. For example, you know, we're looking at a nightlife portal, for example, at this point, which caters to the nightlife in Dubai. That's one of our initiatives. Similarly, we're looking at pushing the online initiative to clients, telling them that don't spend your money in advertising on outdoor, print, etc. Look at online more seriously. It might have better ROI than, you know, the other lines that you're looking at. These are some of the key areas that we're looking at. Again, within Alliance, I think PR is a big opportunity. Mm-hmm. PR is something that has excellent ROI, provides a lot of value to businesses. So we're looking to speak to clients, ensure that they do their PR right, increase the scope of PR rather than just doing press releases, take it forward, build your brand in the right way using public relations. That's another big line for us at this point. And again, I think from a geography perspective, we're looking to move into India, which is our home country as such, in the near future. Again, we can outsource a lot of work there and enhance, you know, the cost structure that we already have, while trying to build a small local market base in India as well, you know, for our company. That's the basic idea for the near future.
That's great. Finally, so our listeners can learn some more about your firm, can you provide some links to your website?
Sure. I think the primary link that you could use to read more about our business is www.frequency, that is FrequencyNe.com. This is our company website. You could come and read, leave your comments there. And down the line, once we have our portals up, we'll be linking that to the website as well, and you could be a part of our initiative.
That's great. Okay, thanks for your time, Alesh.
Thank you, Nicholas. It's been a pleasure talking to you as well.
That's it for episode 11 of the Asia Business Investor Podcast. We look forward to bringing you some future podcasts with other entrepreneurs in Asia and the Middle East, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.